Presenting The Complete Orson Welles
and the Mercury Theater on the air in The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells.
This is Orson Welles speaking from London.
As the third man.
Stand by.
We'll be on the air in 15 seconds, Mr. Welles.
Yes, I know.
Stand by, everybody.
Mercury Theater on the air presents Orson Welles as Count Dracula in his own version of Bram Stoker's great novel, Dracula.
What evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
Hello, world. Welcome to The Complete Orson Welles, brought to you by Duane Oldtime Radio. This podcast will feature various classic radio programs ranging mostly from 1936 to 1952 that Orson either produced and directed, was featured on, or starred as a guest.
If you would like to donate a few dollars to help me cover the cost of creating these weekly posts, you can donate to my channel. On the bottom of each post, there is a donation link in your preferred podcast player. Anything you donate is extremely helpful and appreciated.
Hope you enjoyed The Genius of Mr. Wells. The Shadow is the series for the week. Two episodes from The Shadow. Murders in Wax, May 15th, 1938. And then Message from the Hills, May 22nd, 1938.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The Shadow knows.
The Shadow, Lamont Cranston, a man of wealth, a student of science, and a master of other people's minds, devotes his life to righting wrongs, protecting the innocent, and punishing the guilty. Using advanced methods that may ultimately become available to all law enforcement agencies, Cranston is known to the underworld as the Shadow. Never seen, only heard. As haunting to superstitious minds as a ghost, as inevitable as a guilty conscience. The Shadow's true identity is known only to his constant friend and aide, Margot Lane. Today's story, Murders in Wax.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to step inside and view the illuminating and educational exhibits that are the features of our waxworks. See Bluebeard actually slaying his eight wives. See Custer's last stand. See the capture of George Keegan, public enemy number one. And many other thrilling, lifelike tableaux. The price of admission is only one dime, 10 cents. Our lecture is just starting, and if you hurry, 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 you'll be just in time to witness the complete show on the inside. Step right up now. How many for the fee?
Two, please.
And all right, how many of you?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll just step over here to the next platform, I shall describe to you the details of the feature tableau of our exhibit.
Say, they look like real people, don't they?
Yeah, how do they make them?
With wax.
Gee.
This tableau is a dramatic reenactment of the capture of George Keegan, the notorious gang chief of Prohibition Day. He was arrested in the manner shown right here. No doubt you all recognize the figures of the brave men who personally led the police squad who made the capture. On the left, the wax figure of our own Mayor Lewis. Center, our district attorney Armstrong. And right, Police Commissioner Weston.
Were they really there when Keegan was caught?
Sure he was.
George Keegan's arrest put an end to the wave of crime and lawlessness that gripped our city for a decade. He is now imprisoned in the state penitentiary for the rest of his natural life.
Gee, the girl on the tableau sure looks lifelike.
Yeah.
Oh, ask him who she is.
Okay. Hey, Cap, who's that girl?
Just coming to that, brother. A little lady seated in the chair was Keegan's gun mom, Edna Kelly.
Oh,
she was with him in the hideout at the time of the raid.
Hey, look at that. The wax figure fell off the chair.
Now, don't get excited, folks. It's only a wax figure. I'll just set it up again and... Holy cats. It's real.
It's
a body. A dead body. The dead body of Edna Kelly.
Hey, it's really Edna Kelly.
Edna Kelly, how'd she get here?
She's been murdered.
Lamont, you do row beautifully, but if you don't pull a trifle harder on that right oar, we'll hit that rock.
Sorry, there we are. A little rusty on navigation, Margaret. This is my first rowboat venture in the park this spring.
I'm really enjoying it. I need a little fresh air and sunshine after that experience at the waxworks yesterday. That was pretty terrible.
How'd you ever happen to go to that place, Margaret?
Well, I was showing the town to my cousin Jane from upstate. We passed the Waxworks Museum, and she insisted on going in. She'd never seen a chamber of horror.
And she saw more horror than she bargained for.
Yes, and so did I. I'll never forget it.
Just what was that wax tableau like?
It was set in a replica of a furnished room in the house where Keegan was captured.
Yes?
The figures of Mayor Lewis, District Attorney Armstrong, and Police Commissioner Weston were grouped about Keegan and Edna Kelly.
Didn't anyone notice that the figure of the Kelly girl was actually she until it fell from the chair?
No. The wax figures were so lifelike that no one suspected.
I see. Shall I row over the island?
Oh, that'd be nice. Lamont, whom do you think killed Edna Kelly?
Well, she was a gunman's girl. Always the obvious suspects, her lovers, enemies, or even members of his gang who might be more comfortable with her out of the way, but come on, I don't think it was either of these.
Why, Lamont?
Doesn't it strike you that the substitution of the girl's body for the waxwork in such a spectacular fashion may have some deeper significance than a mere bizarre effect?
Oh, what do you mean?
It must have been the girl's connection with the other people represented in that group that motivated the murderer in bringing her body there.
I don't quite understand.
My deductions are correct. The taking of Edna Kelly's life is only the first of a series of vengeful murders.
But, Lamont, if that's true, isn't there anything you can do to forestall it?
Perhaps. I only knew a little more. I only knew where the killer plans to strike next.
Surely the Shadow can find that out.
With your help, Margot, perhaps he can.
A fine bunch of detectives I've got in this department. You call yourselves a homicide squad? That's a laugh.
But, Commissioner Weston, we've combed this city.
Logan, have you checked on the story of the museum proprietor?
Commissioner, you talked to him yourself.
Have you verified his statements?
Yes, Chief, they're solid. Yeah.
The murderer entered the Waxworks Museum by a back door. It was found Jimmy. After he put Edna Kelly's body in a tableau, he took the wax image of her outside and buried it under some trash in the alley.
Did you go over the image for fingerprints, Cardona?
Yeah, but we couldn't find anything.
Tell him about the face.
Oh, yeah, Commissioner. Funny thing, the face of the wax dummy had been sliced with a knife across the left cheek.
Why didn't you tell me that before? You know what that means as well as I do.
That's right. That's the mark of a squealer.
Yeah, but it couldn't have been any mob stuff. The probation report shows that Edna Kelly's been going straight ever since Keegan was sent away.
If you ask me, I think it was a lunatic that done it.
Yeah.
No sane guy had set a dead girl's body up for exhibition in that waxworks joint.
No, it looks to me like one of them love things. Some guy carrying a torch for Kelly. And
you're both wrong. It was no lunatic that committed that murder. Mm. And Edna Kelly hasn't gone out with anyone since Keegan started his stretch. Well,
then what, Chief?
Edna Kelly was murdered for vengeance. By someone who wanted to settle a score with her lover, George Keegan. Keegan can't be reached in the big house, so they take it out on the girl.
And what about the mark of the squealer on the face of the wax figure?
That ties right in. That was the murderer's way of telling Keegan what he thought of him. Keegan has saved his neck by squealing on a dozen guys.
Say, that's right.
Yeah. Of course it's right. Cardona, first thing in the morning, I want you and Hogan to conduct a general roundup of every known enemy of George Keegan.
That won't do any good, Commissioner.
Hit the Shadow.
Where is he? Don't trouble to find him. Why are you here, Shadow?
To aid you in capturing the murderer of Edna Kelly.
What do you know about the case?
I know that you shouldn't be wasting your men's time rounding up possible suspects while the real assassin is left free to strike his next blow.
Now, see here, Shadow. Don't tell me how to run my department.
Hold on, Weston. I have every reason to suspect that the placing of the Kelly girl's body in the wax tableau was intended as a warning of other deaths to follow.
Other deaths? You think there's going to be more killings?
Be quiet, Hogan. Tell me what you mean, Shadow.
I mean that the other people represented in that wax tableau are in danger of being killed, too. And they're the mayor, the district attorney, and you yourself, Commissioner Weston.
That sounds preposterous.
Not at all. My advice is that you act quickly. One of you may be at this moment in imminent peril.
Oh, come, Shadow. What possible motive could the murderer of the girl have for wishing to kill us as well? I think that you're... Excuse me. Hello?
Mrs. Armstrong, the district attorney's wife, wants to talk to you.
Now put her on.
Hello?
Yes, Mrs. Armstrong. This is Commissioner Weston.
Oh, Commissioner, I'm dreadfully worried about John.
Now, what's wrong?
Well, shortly after dinner, he went out. Said he might take a walk. Several hours passed, and he didn't return. I must have fallen asleep. And when I woke up a few minutes ago, he still hadn't come back. Oh, this isn't like John, Commissioner.
What time is it now?
It's after 2 a.m.
Well, now, don't be alarmed, Mrs. Armstrong. He's probably detained somewhere on business. I'll try to locate him for you and call you back.
Oh, thank you.
District Attorney has disappeared.
Disappeared? Say,
well, Commissioner Weston.
Do you think, Shadow, that...
Yes, Commissioner. I fear that the killer has struck again.
It can't be.
If I were you, I would go to the Waxworks Museum. At once. You may arrive in time to stop this murderer from completing his monstrous work.
Wax Museum, Commissioner Weston.
Sergeant, take some men around to guard the back door.
Yes, sir.
Cardona, has anyone any keys to this place?
No, sir. We'll have to force the lock.
All right, go to it.
Okay.
I'll help you. Get in there. All right. Come in.
All right, there she is. Now, where's the light switch?
Never mind that. Use your flashlight.
Okay. Hey, kind of scary in here, ain't it?
Yeah, it gives you the creeps.
Hey, what's that?
Where?
That guy over there. Got a knife.
Don't shoot, you fool. That's one of the wax dummies.
Oh.
Now, where is this Keegan tableau?
It's right over here on the left.
Oh. So that's it.
Well, I guess nothing's happened yet, Chief. Doesn't look like anything's been disturbed.
That's the wax dummy of District Attorney Armstrong sitting down in a chair.
Sitting down? Hey, it seems to me his dummy was standing up the last time he was here.
What? Give me a lift up on the platform, quick.
Yeah.
You think it may be this? I don't know. Flash the light over here. Good heavens. It's Armstrong.
Is it really District Attorney Armstrong?
Yes. Dead.
Murdered.
And he was brought here just like the Shadow said he.
Yes. Just as I said, gentlemen. I'm sorry that I couldn't have warned you earlier.
Who did this thing, Shadow? Do you know? Who did it?
I'm not sure. But with your cooperation, Commissioner Weston, together we may bring about his downfall.
How?
I am positive now that either you or Mayor Lewis... the next victim marked to go. Guard yourselves well.
I'll attend to that, all right.
You'll hear from me soon, Commissioner. When the Shadow finds out who the killer is, he will be brought to justice.
Quite evident now, Margaret, even to Commissioner Weston, that the killer's aimed to do away with everyone concerned in that tableau.
Then, Lamont, you mean the mayor, the commissioner, and Keegan? They're the only ones left.
Exactly. Let me see. I should take a right turn here.
Lamont, do you believe these murders are the work of a madman?
Not at all. I think that whoever's behind all this is quite sane, Margaret. Quite sane.
What makes you say that?
There's some important civic figures in that group. Their removal would be highly advantageous to a political rival.
Surely, political rivalry wouldn't be sufficient motive for these horrible crimes.
I wonder.
And besides, the girl, Edna Kelly, how would she fit into that picture?
That's what we're driving up here to find out. There's the prison now.
A cheerful-looking spot.
I'll drive you up to the gate and let you out. I shan't go in with you.
Why not?
The warden, Mr. Driscoll, has never been a particular admirer of mine. Feeling which I reciprocate.
Why, Lamont?
Well, I had occasion to expose the graft-ridden conditions in this prison a few years ago. Naturally, that didn't make me too popular with Mr. Driscoll. Here we are. Now, you remember what I told you?
I think so. I'm a reporter from the Daily Globe. I'm to ask for an interview with Edna Kelly's sweetheart, Keegan. And when I see him, I'll try to find out from him. Please tell me something, Mr. Keegan. The readers of the Daily Globe have sent us thousands of letters expressing their interest in your reaction to the tragic death of Miss Kelly.
I ain't got nothing to say about it.
Do you believe that the killing was executed by one of your enemies?
I wouldn't know.
You loved Edna Kelly, didn't you?
Hey, what are you giving out with, the Lonely Hearts column?
No. No, you see...
Lay off that love stuff.
But, Mr. Keegan, I was sent up here by my paper to get a human interest story from you. And after all... Well, you were fond of Miss Kelly. She was your girl.
My girl? Oh, no.
But
I'll tell you what Edna Kelly was. She was the same as any other dame, see? She was a double-crosser.
But I thought...
Wait a minute, Wendell. Wait a minute, I didn't mean that. Don't write nothing like I just said there. I get a little screwy sometimes when I think about what happened to you.
Oh, of course. I understand.
So, just don't write nothing, will you?
No, but what about this theory that she was slain by one of your enemies, Mr. Keegan?
I wouldn't know. I...
I tell you, Lamont, he flared up so suddenly when I asked him if he really loved her. I was scared to death.
He called her a double crosser, eh?
Yeah, but he regretted it the next second. He asked me to be sure and not write anything about it.
It's most interesting, Margot, and thank you for your excellent work.
But has what I told you helped you unravel any?
Greatly.
Well, what happens now?
I think that there are many more interesting facts to be learned there at prison.
Yes?
This evening, the Shadow shall pay a call on his old friend, Warden Driscoll.
Come in.
Can I see you for a minute, Warden?
What's the trouble, Kay?
Well, it's about Keegan.
Well, what about him?
Well, I put him in solitary, like you told me.
Yes, yes.
That was this morning I done that.
Hey, Carrie, what are you trying to tell me?
Well, he ain't had no food for the last three meals.
So?
So I was wondering if something should be done to make him eat. He just lays quiet on his bunk.
I thought I told you that no one was to go near Keegan's cell without my orders.
Well, I thought if he wasn't eating...
Carrie, if you just perform your duties as guard around here and let the warden do the thinking, everything will be satisfactory.
Yeah, sure, warden, sure.
And leave Keegan alone.
Yeah, yes, sir. I'm sorry. Good night, warden.
Close that door after you.
Yes, sir.
Fool. Hello? Yes? Oh, yes, Mac. Oh, did he get away all right? Good. Yeah? Well, get him back here before daylight, no matter what happens. Yeah, okay. Tell him I hope he does a good job. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Now, goodbye.
You seem to be quite amused, Warden Driscoll.
Huh? Hey, what? Who's that?
Won't you share your little joke with me?
Carrie, are you outside that door? Is that you talking? Carrie, if this is your idea of something funny...
This is not Carrie.
Well, who are you?
I am the Shadow.
The Shadow?
Yes, Warden.
Well, why are you here? What do you want with me?
I came in when Carrie left. I overheard your phone conversation, Driscoll. It was very interesting.
Really?
Yes. I'm more than curious to know who you were talking about.
Now, listen, Shadow. What business
have
you...
It wouldn't have been George Keegan.
Oh, now, see here. I've had enough of
this. Wait, Warden. I wouldn't advise you to leave until we've finished our conversation.
Well, what are you after, Shadow?
I am seeking the murderer of Edna Kelly and District Attorney Armstrong.
Well, why look here?
Because this is where he is to be found.
Who do you mean?
George Keegan.
Keegan? Oh, that's preposterous. How could a man in prison for the rest of his life suddenly commit two murders in a city 50 miles away?
Very simple, Warden. He'd just go there.
Are you inferring that Keegan has escaped?
Oh, no, nothing as crude as that. But if he were allowed to, shall we say, take a leave of absence for a night...
Keegan has never left these buildings.
Where is he now?
In his cell.
Oh, no, he isn't. I investigated before I came here. And his cell is empty.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's right. I forgot. He's in solitary confinement.
You mean his cot is stuffed with pillows to make it appear as if he were in solitary confinement.
Ah, that's not true.
I'll tell you where George Keegan is. He's on his way to the city right now to add another link to his chain of cold-blooded murders. He's gone there with your full knowledge and consent.
No, no.
It would be a great political advantage for you to have the District Attorney Armstrong, the Mayor Lewis, and Commissioner Weston out of the way. Wouldn't it, Warden?
Oh, you don't know what you're talking about.
It's an easy thing to prey upon the susceptible jealousies of a man like Keegan until you've goaded him into carrying out your evil wishes.
You can never prove what you're saying.
I haven't time to right now, Warden. The lives of the mayor and the commissioner at stake, unless I'm able to stop Keegan. I shall present more than enough proof necessary to implicate you to the district attorney's office in the morning. So you'd better think hard and fast, Warden Driscoll. Margot Lane. Calling Margot Lane. Telephone Police Commissioner Weston immediately. There's no time to lose. Tell him that tonight both he and the mayor are in great danger. Even now it may be too late. If they do have time to follow up my instructions, tell them that they must follow my instructions.
All right, Mr. Mayor. stay sitting at that desk and keep your back to me. I got a gun here. Don't turn around. Just listen. I'm George Keegan. Remember me? You was one of the heroes that made the pinch when I was picked up. You must remember. Why, they even got a little statue of you and me down at the Wax Museum. Now do you know? You'd better know, Mr. Mayor. Because I'm sending you down personally to take that statue's place. Well, why don't you say something? Are you scared to talk? Where's all that fancy gab that you hand out at banquets and meetings? Come on, speak up. Come on, what's the matter with you? Speak up, will you? All right, then you'll get yours just the same. Looks like I just brought about a special election. Now, Mr. Mayor, I'll just take this corpse of yours down to the museum and then... Hey, what's this? This ain't nobody. It's a dummy, a plant.
What? You've gotten your targets mixed, haven't you, Keegan?
Who's that?
Aren't you surprised to find yourself shooting at a wax dummy?
Come on out in the open. Who are you?
I'm right here with you. I am your shadow.
Come on, Ken, that phony talk. What are you, a copper?
No, just your personal nemesis, Keegan. Now I'd advise you to drop that gun.
Not a chance.
Close it on him, Commissioner Weston.
Come on, wait. Then. Up with your hands, Keegan.
Let go of me. Let go of me.
Take that gun away from him.
Here you are, Chief.
This is your waxworks murderer, Commissioner.
Thank you, Shadow.
You guys ain't got nothing on me.
How did you get out of jail, Keegan?
I flew out the window.
With the help of Warden Driscoll.
Is this true? Did Driscoll aid you in these crimes?
Driscoll wasn't in.
Who's that?
Ah, I see you've caught him.
Good work, Commissioner.
Hello, Warden Driscoll. What brings you here?
This man, Keegan, escaped from my prison tonight. And I learned that his purpose in leaving was to make good a threat he'd made on the life of our mayor.
Hey, what is this baloney you're throwing out, Warden?
Quiet, you. I've just learned that this isn't the first time he's got out either.
A very good story, Warden. Only I think that George Keegan could tell us a different one.
Shadow, you here?
Yes. And I sort of expected you'd come too, Warden.
What's this all about, Shadow?
Perhaps Keegan can explain that to you, Commissioner.
How about that?
Listen, I ain't no squealer, see? But that Warden ain't telling the truth, not one bit. That's all I gotta say.
Hey, Commissioner, what is this all about? Am I being placed under suspicion here in the testimony of a shadow?
Just a minute, Warden. What are you holding back, Keegan?
I can answer that for you, Commissioner Weston. Keegan is shielding the Warden as the real instigator of the Waxworks murders.
That's a lie.
He wanted you all out of the way, Commissioner, so he employed Keegan as his instrument of murder.
Don't listen to him.
Go on, Shadow.
But first, he had to give Keegan sufficient incentive to perform these crimes, so he went to work on his emotions, his jealousy.
How?
He told Keegan that his girl, Edna Kelly, had been double-crossing him. Right along. Keegan, this was a lie.
Huh? What, you mean she was on a level?
Absolutely, Keegan.
Why, Driscoll, you dirty...
Look out, he's got another gun.
Don't.
Go on.
Roll in pain. Just like Edna done before she died. That's right. Try to talk. That's what she done, too. And I laughed at her. Laughed at her, that's what I did.
Take him away.
Laughed at her.
Driscoll is dead, Commissioner.
Well, perhaps that's for the best.
Oh, Shadow, are you still there?
Yes, Commissioner.
I want to thank you heartily for this night's work.
I seek no credit, Commissioner. However, I have a suggestion for you.
What's that?
If the Wax Museum decides to create a new tableau depicting this present event, it might be wise for you to arrange to be excluded from it. Gives people ideas.
The weed of crime. A shadow.
message from the Hill.
Hand me that map, Jake.
Okay, Bart. Spread it out on the table, Jordan.
Okay. Now, let's check the whole thing once more.
All right. Now, here's the Bloomin' Desert Island we're camped on right now.
Yeah? It ain't so much bigger than that dot at that. Oh, shut up, Jake. And here's Swanee Island.
Righto. There's Mount Raleigh and that blessed diamond Ryan. Right smack in the middle. See, Jake? 3 weeks from the coast and Governor House by trail. Isolated, you might say.
All right, Limey. Is our plane in good shape?
Capole.
You're sure you can find that mountain?
Well, I've run up there often enough.
Limey, we don't want to get tangled up with the mining company's plane.
We won't. The plane goes up from the coast on Friday, comes back on Saturday. We pays our little visit to the diamond mine in between.
You're sure they ship the diamonds out every 3 months?
Listen, Jordan, I've worked with those fat-headed birds for over a year. I know.
Well, looks foolproof to me.
And there's enough diamonds in one of them shipments to keep us all like aristocrats.
Are the rest of the native boys in good shape, Jake?
Yeah, boss. The cream of the South Seas.
They can fight?
They may have to. That blasted Major White said, what's the chief? He's a tough old bird, he is.
We'll take care of him.
Wonder what he'll say when he sees me again.
Well, why worry? He won't talk long.
What do you mean, boss?
I mean that when we get through and ready to leave, we'll wipe out every one of the white men.
That's the ticket, Jordan. Don't leave no witnesses. They'll all be corpses.
Here we are, Miss Lane, at the Mount Raleigh Diamond Mine.
Nice landing, Rick, here.
Thanks awfully, Mr. Fenton.
Oh, here comes a nice looking boy to greet us.
It's Ned Fenton, the assistant superintendent of the Diamond Mine. Hi, Ned. Visitors for you.
Well, this is, darling.
Miss Lane, may I present Ned Fenton?
How do you do?
How do you do?
And Mr. Lamont Cranston, Mr. Fenton.
How do you do?
Very glad to be here.
It's lovely here on your mountaintop.
Glad you like it. Let me help you down, Miss Lane.
Oh, thanks.
There you are. I suppose this is one of the few rarely secluded places left on the Earth's surface.
I imagine it is. By the way, Ned, where are the others?
Oh, Major Whiteside's off in the hills with the 3 junior engineers. See them all at mess tonight. Leave the mail sack there, Ricky. Tango will haul it in.
By the way, how is Tango? Still down in the mouth?
Quite full, Cap.
Who is Tango?
What's the matter with him?
Oh, Tango's our houseman, butler, cook, and so on. He's mourning for his son, who lives on a small island about 1,000 miles from here.
Poor fellow. When did he hear?
Months ago. Same night he thinks the boy died.
But I thought you had no wireless station here. No, we haven't.
Then
Tango's wife told him by telepathy.
Told him? You mean he believes his son dead because of a mental message sent by telepathy?
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, come now, Mr. Benson. You don't believe this rot.
Frankly, I don't think it is all rot. I believe when two minds are in tune, sometimes they can communicate.
Across 1,000 miles of ocean.
From the ends of the earth.
Oh, after all,
I laugh too loudly, Mr. Fenton. Your disbelief might get a rude shock if you stay in the Orient long. You can never tell what strange things may happen today, tonight.
Tenga! Tenga! Oh, confound the fellow. No good lately.
He heard about his mourning for his son.
Yes, to be sure. You know, I've told Tenga there can't be any truth to his notion, but that doesn't alter his belief.
Excuse me, sir. Here comes the old man now.
Yes, Master Whiteside. You call?
Have a coffee now, Tenga.
Yes, Master. I bring it.
A fine old type. A chieftain, I imagine, his own island.
Well, I can't say, Mr. Cranston. Tenga's a good houseman. That's all I know about him.
Major, Ricky tells us that on his flight next week, he takes out your quarterly shipment of diamonds.
Yes. He's sending off the sizable packet of the stones. They accumulate in 3 months.
Isn't it risky letting them accumulate? I should think crooks might be tempted to lie in ways and pounds.
Oh, nonsense, Cranston. Takes 3 months to reach us by trail.
Didn't they take a hint from you and use a plane?
Can't see how. There's no plane but ours the whole island. None nearer than Australia, I should fancy.
Major.
Now, if you'll forgive me, I'll take a squint at my mail from the office.
No, of course. You other boys must want to read yours, too. Oh,
thanks awfully, Miss Lane. There is one from home I'm aching for.
Well, by Joe.
Anything wrong, Major?
No, nothing wrong. Just use it odd, that's all.
I bring coffee now, Master Whiteside.
Oh, yes. Tinger.
Yes, Master.
I have a letter from the office. Message for you in it. The fact of the matter is, your wild guess was right. Your son did die a month ago.
Oh, no.
Yes, Master, I know. Tinga's wife tell him boy dead.
I say, Tinga, we're awfully sorry.
Thank you, Master Ned.
Well, that'll be all, Tinga. We'll help ourselves. You may go.
Yes, Master. Tinga go.
Oh, fancy that now.
You said that in the East the unbelievable always happens. Now, will you excuse me?
I think I must speak to Tenga, sir.
Well, whatever for?
I'd like to give the old man a few words of consolation.
Oh, I say that won't do. We never have personal dealings with the natives, Branscom. Bad for discipline, you know. I'm afraid I must ask you to refrain.
Why, naturally, Major, if you wish. Margot, supposing you and I go out and look at the moon.
Why, of course, Lamont. Lovely tonight.
I'll open the screen door for you.
Well, what do you think of the Major, Lamont?
Fine example of a ruler in the Empire on which the sun just doesn't set.
Not very nice of him forbidding you to speak to Tenga.
Oh, I don't mind. At least he can't forbid the Shadow doing so.
You mean you'll go to Tenga as the Shadow?
Yes, Margot. Yes.
But Lamont, you'll scare the poor old man silly. Lamont, where are you? Speak to me.
It's all right, Margot. I'm on my way to talk to Tenga as the Shadow. Do not be afraid, Tenga.
Why should Tenga fear?
Many fear the Shadow because they cannot see him.
The Shadow is strange magic. Tenga not understand. But an old man whose son has gone down in the land of the dead fears nothing anymore.
The Shadow weeps for you.
The tears of friend are balm to the heart.
Is not your sorrow greater tonight because the letter has come making your son's death certain?
No. Tenga need not white man's foolish letter.
The white major does not understand how you could communicate with your wife across the waters.
White men do not know wisdom and magic.
Some white men know.
That may be. I do not know.
You do not question the Shadow. You do not ask where I come from.
No. The young and foolish question. The old take what comes.
Soon I shall be gone, far away toward the sea. For Tenga, though I am far off, I will still be your friend.
Then our souls will speak to each other again when we are troubled.
Yes, for when two spirits are in tune, the waters of the earth and the many miles of forest do not part them. They can still meet and speak.
Roger back down and paid for every one of the cows.
Oh, how interesting, Governor.
Yes, must tell her down to Cranston.
Yes, indeed. Why, that's funny. I thought he was dancing with Lady Brainford.
No, I'm going to the Governor a moment ago. Your friend is a very restless chap, isn't he?
Not ordinarily, Governor, but I must confess that he certainly has been jumpy this evening.
That's the flight back from the hills upset him.
No, I don't think so, Governor. Well, if you'll excuse me, I think I'll go and try to find him.
My goodness.
Hi, Margot Lane.
Oh, you're Margot.
Yes, what are you doing down here on the beach by yourself?
Margot, shh. Listen.
Listen? I can't hear anything.
Nothing at all.
Look at the waves lapping on the shore. There's nothing else to hear.
But there is, Margot. You've just interrupted a very interesting conversation.
Interrupted? But the mountain's no one here for you to talk to. Who was it?
Tenga.
Tenga? You mean that old native up at the mine?
Yes, Margot.
But it doesn't seem possible. He's 100 miles away.
In the Orient, Margot, many strange things happen. All evening I've been restless. I had the feeling someone was trying to speak to me. I came out here to put myself in a receptive mood.
What did Tenga say, Lamont?
Your coming disturbed me and the contact was broken.
Sorry.
Yes. And just as you called out, Tenga spoke of danger.
Mm.
Yes, something to do with the Mount Raleigh diamond mine. Let's establish contact with him quickly. Sit down here beside me.
Yes, Lamont.
Now clear your mind, Margot. Think of Tenga. Think of the hills about the mining camp. Listen.
Shadow.
There. Can you hear him now?
Yes. Yes, I think so.
Master Shadow. Master Shadow. Tenga calls you, Master.
I can hear you, Tenga.
I can hear too.
Tenga, speak. Tell Shadow. There is danger?
Yes, Shadow. White men come to mine, make war.
White men? Strangers?
Yes, Shadow. Bad white men. Come rob, come kill.
Where did the strangers come from?
Bad white man come in big Skybird.
An airplane?
Yes. They come with gun. Money gun. They want rob stones from mine.
Yes, Tenga?
Master White Stone, fix Skybird.
Fix the plane? How, Tenga?
Fix so no cannot fly. Bad white man shoot master for this. Kill him.
How horrible.
Tenga, how many bad white men are there?
Many as fingers on one hand and three more.
Eight.
They say kill Master Ned. Kill Tenga. Kill everyone. Native boy fear. Into hills. Bad man lock masters in house. Tenga call shadow. Bring help.
Yes, Tenga, yes. The shadow will bring help.
Hey, Master Shadow, come quick. Hurry. Hurry.
He's gone. Come, Margot, quickly.
What can you do?
Those bandits are stuck up in the mountains. Major Whiteside wrecked their plane. They can't escape. But they killed Whiteside. We must hurry before they kill all the others. Governor, you've got to listen to me. I tell you, I know.
Ridiculous, Mr. Cranston.
Governor, your friends, those men in the hills, they may be killed.
My dear Miss Lane, it's impossible for you to know anything about what's going on up there. Impossible.
I told you, Governor. Tenga spoke to us.
Please, Mr. Cranston, you can't ask me to believe that.
Yes, it's true.
I heard Tenga, too, Governor.
Pure imagination, my dear.
Give me a plane and some armed men, then we'll find out if it's imagination.
The plane, Mr. Cranston, is for official business only. Not for any silly joyride.
But it isn't silly. Tenga called us through mental telepathy, the oldest wireless in the world.
Now, Cranston, I think I've listened to this cock and bull story long enough. I'll get back to my guest.
Just lend me the plane, please.
No, I won't lend it to you. Now put a guard around it in case you have any crazy schemes without grabbing it.
But, Governor, these bandits...
The bandits, my dear, are creatures of Mr. Cranston's imagination. Nothing more. Please excuse me. I must give my orders to the guard.
You may regret this, Governor.
I doubt it, Mr. Cranston. If you ask me, you'd better consult the doctor. Such of a sum, no doubt.
Oh, Lamont, what can we do?
Do, Margot, we're going up to that mine.
But how?
We're flying, taking the plane.
But you heard the governor. He's putting guards around the plane.
Guards, Margot, have never yet managed to stop the shadow.
Say, Corporal.
What is it?
Sitting in this hangar guarding the plane. Ain't it kind of silly?
It ain't for you to question the governor's orders.
No, sir. Well, who's going to meddle with the plane?
Never mind that. Orders is orders.
Hey, someone's opening the small door.
Who's there?
See anyone?
Mm. Ain't no one, I guess.
Maybe the wind blew the door open and shut.
Wind, there's no sign of it, please.
Well, maybe whoever it was saw us and stayed outside.
Just keep your eyes on that plane.
Yes. Hey, Corporal, look at the hangar door.
Well, it's sliding back.
Yeah, nobody's near it.
Who's there? Officer, I say, I'll shoot.
You can't get anything, soldier.
Who's
Corporal? It's spooks.
Yes, my friend. Something like that.
I'm getting out of here.
Tommy, this ain't regulations, you know.
Leave before it's too late.
Yes, sir. I'm leaving. Quiet. Come on.
Come on, Margot. Coast is clear. Hurry.
Oh, those poor soldiers. They're still running.
Get in, Margot, before they come back.
Yes, I'm with you.
We'll run her right through the open door and take off.
All right.
Shut the door.
Yes.
Heaven, this plane's got an automatic starter.
Hurry.
Grab your belt. Here we go.
Time, Shadow.
Here come some men now. They heard the plane landing.
Yes, strangers. They have guns.
No doubt they're the robbers. The plane's a surprise to them.
Yes.
There'll be another surprise later. They'll be hardly expecting the Shadow.
No.
Now remember, Margot, you're alone. No one on the coast suspects what's
remember. Be careful, Shadow.
Here they come.
Don't move! Don't go ahead.
Come on,
I'll drag the pilot out of here, Dick.
What's the matter?
Hey, boss! It's a woman.
What is it? What's the matter? I don't know you.
Hey, let me in there. Why, a girl. Alone.
Yeah, look.
Hey, what are you doing here, sister?
Well, please, put down that gun.
Answer my question.
Well, I borrowed the plane and flew up to see a friend, Ned Fenton.
Well, your friend ain't receiving, sister. But thanks very much for the plane. Bring her out, Jake.
Sure. Come on, babe, and keep those pretty paws up.
Very well.
There she is.
Now, come on, miss. Jump down here.
This is a holdup, isn't it?
You'll catch on quick.
Fly me. Can you fly this crate?
Sure, easy.
But I used up all the gas.
There's gas over in that shack, Limey. Fill her up. We'll bump off the rest of these mining guys and get out of here.
I'll get the gas right away.
All right, Jake. Bring the dame. I want to talk to her.
Okay, boss. Come on, you.
I'm coming. Let go of my arm.
Come on, get out of here.
So the plane was welcome, was it? I doubt if its invisible passenger will be. No, you killers. You will not like the shadow.
Hey, you. Bozo, what's your name?
I Tenga.
Yeah? Well, Tenga, the boss says to get him a couple of drinks. Fast, you hear me?
Tenga here.
Scram, pep it up.
Tenga.
Who calls? The Shadow?
Yes, Tenga. I'm here.
Shadow come to save Master Ned and White Master.
Yes, Tenga. The Shadow promised when he spoke across the mountains. He is here to help.
Yes, Shadow.
Tell me, where have the bandits put Master Ned and our other friends?
They lock in room main bungalow. Chief of robbers in room outside with gun.
Take him the drinks he orders, Tenga. The Shadow will follow you into the room.
Yes, Shadow. Drink ready. Shadow come.
Yes, Tenga. But do not speak to me with others near.
No. Tenga knows. Shadow stay hidden.
Lead the way, Tenga.
They are in here, Shadow.
Hey, Tenga, what are you whispering about out there?
Nothing, Master.
Who are you talking to?
No one, Master. See, no one here.
Yeah? Well, come on in here with that bottle.
Don't grab the poor old man like that.
You keep quiet, sister.
Hey, boss, the old guy must have money in the bank. He was talking to himself.
Tenga, go now.
Okay, beat it. And don't hang around outside.
If we catch you trying to help those English guys, I'll slit your throat.
Tenga, go.
How long do you expect to keep me here?
Just as long as we want, sister. Maybe we'll take you along when we leave, as hostage.
I'd rather stay here.
There won't be nothing left here, lady, but stiff.
Hey, look, sister. You see that little package on the table?
Yes.
Well, that's got enough diamonds in it to make us all rich.
Sure.
Hey, well, what is it, Lammy?
I got bad news.
Did you fill up the plane with gas?
That's just it. While I went for the gas, somebody monkeyed with the works. All three motors.
Hey, what goes in? Hey, you, sister. Are you trying to pull a fast one on me?
Don't be ridiculous. I haven't been near those motors since I landed.
That's right, boss. We've got to fix them motors.
I don't know. But we've got to find those missing parts if we're going to get out of here.
Well, how about taking parts from our plane?
There's nothing left to take. Old Major Whiteside went to work on our motors with an axe.
Hey, wait a minute. I'll bet one of them guys in the next room got out and did it.
Oh, how could they? With two guards outside the window? Jake, you go with Limey and try to find that stuff. And leave the machine gun on the table.
Okay, boss. Come on, Jake.
Yeah, man.
Now, listen to me, sister.
Yes?
Was there someone hiding here beside you in the plane? Someone hiding?
I was not hiding, Jordan, but you could not see me.
Who said that?
I am the Shadow.
Shadow? Well, where are you anyway?
Here, Jordan. Here in the shadows. But you cannot see me. Your plan to steal the diamonds has failed.
The devil it has.
Look. Look on the table.
The diamonds. They're gone.
I've taken them, Jordan, just as I took the parts from the motors and the plane. You cannot escape.
Shadow, my friends are locked in this room.
Get away from that door, doll, before I throttle you.
No, my friend, let the girl go.
Oh, Shadow, you...
I knocked him out, Margot. I must leave things in your hands. I cannot reveal my presence here as the Shadow to our friends. But I will be here watching in the shadows. our friends out. The key is in the lock.
Yes. Hurry, men. Come on out.
Men, how in the world?
Never mind that. Hurry. Take the machine gun over there. You must arm yourself.
Well, there's plenty of guns in the closet there.
Right, Gordon, the leader's lying there unconscious, but the others are still free and dangerous.
Right, let's have that Tommy gun, Miss Lane.
Yes.
We'll give them a reception. Miss Lane, you better go in the next room. There'll be bullets flying in here.
All right.
Yes. Hey, Bart! Hey, Bart! We can't find him.
Hey, Jake, throw up your hands.
What is this? Hands up, I say.
Not me, you...
Hey, Daddy's got a pistol.
That's for Major Whiteside. Now, come on, fellows. Let's get the other.
All right, right, right.
Shadow, are you still here?
Yes, Tenga, I'm here.
Then you see Master Ned kill bad men?
Yes, Ned had no alternative. They tried to fight. Look through the window, Tenga. Another bad man die. Others fly towards jungle.
They go also to their death. Listen.
Native drums. Ah, Tenga, I understand.
Yes, master. Boys in jungle know these white men bad. They glad to kill them.
Their leader, Jordan, there, will live only a little longer. Then he will die at the hands of the authorities. He planned well, but he forgot one thing.
Yes, Shadow. He forgot Shadow and Tinga speak together no matter where he is, no matter where I am.
Yes, Tinga. And he forgot crime always brings its own penalty. No matter whether justice is brought about by means of mental telepathy, recognized detective forces, or the shadow.
Thank you for listening to and showing your support for my podcast. If you would like to receive notifications of when new episodes are posted, please subscribe to my channel. Subscriptions are 100% free, and they really help me get an idea of how I'm doing.